It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
Do you know how embarrassing that would be if we biked by Shanahan, Lamoriello, and Babcock in Chicago?
Why? On the bike bar. Back to their hotel.
I'm telling you right now.
We're on the bike bar.
I quit my job, I think.
I think we'd have to quit.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Start the hour off here with a text, because in the previous hour we were mentioning how there's a video out there of Draymond Green in the gym today working out.
Yeah, it's a little heroic.
After he won a title last night, James in Toronto is claiming, I did not see this, but he is claiming that Crosby was working out yesterday morning after winning the cup. He said, if you're going to throw some shade towards Draymond Green, you have to do the same thing to Crosby. Well, absolutely. If that's true, I haven't seen it, but if it's true, Sid is being a hero. You can't go into the gym the next day after winning a title. Like, relax. Chill out a little bit.
You should be Bernie Lomaxed. I would be in the chamber.
Yeah, it's disappointing to hear that guys are in the gym.
I want to hear a story about, like, Sean Podine. Do you remember that name, Sean Podine? In Colorado, he won a cup.
He went to the bar with his skates on.
Yeah, everything. He played for 24 hours. He stayed in his gear at the bar, walking up and down the steps, everything in Colorado. That's a story you want to hear.
You know what this tells me is that these guys, once you've won it the first time, anything beyond that becomes kind of routine in a weird way. Draymond Green's won two titles now. He's been to three straight finals. Sid's won three cups. Like, how could this cup possibly be as enthralling as the first cup?
I don't know.
How's it possible?
You're talking to somebody who's won zero, as many as you. So I can't speak to it other than the fact that my friends who have won the cup, all of them are not at the gym the next day. I'll promise
That's
you that.
That's what just separates these people, though. Like, if I won that cup in Detroit, I would have tried to sign a contract somewhere else and then mailed it in the rest of my career.
I just think it's...
These guys want to win. But I would have been like, I'm going to do speeches, book tours. I want a cup.
I'll go on tour.
Radio stations, talk to idiots like you, being a former cup winner. And would have completely mailed it. I would have been a Florida Panther. 3-year deal, and bye-bye.
So what'd you do after you lost the cup?
I basically did that anyway.
Yeah, that's my understanding.
No, I
at least I got to play for one.
I think it's a little bit heroic.
Like, I don't believe that's what makes him so great.
Here's the difference. Sid probably did it with like nobody there. Like,
well, someone clearly knows. If it's out there, then someone was like, "Hey, look at Sid."
Who was it? Green? Draymond Green?
Draymond Green. Now, someone was taking a video of
him. I was just going to say, there's a difference between somebody allowing a video camera and taking a video of it, and one guy going into the bowels of the rink and just working out. And maybe a trainer saying, yeah, Sid's in there, like, working out.
Well, Ray was tweeting about it. I think he said after game five.
Game five, Sid was in the gym.
Was in the gym, and it was an optional, and no players showed up or whatever, and the coaches kind of canceled it, and there was one guy working out in the gym, and it was Sid.
Yeah.
That is something I will give a guy a lot of credit for. Now, all these athletes, they're freaks in different ways, and maybe it's a routine where he's got to do it or whatever. Still, he's the only one in there, so... Full credit to him. But after you've won,
you'd
take a day off. You would think someone would get to him and say, hey, wait a minute here.
Like, that's the difference. Like, Jaromir Jagr, when I played with him in New York, like, he would go to the gym at midnight and skate. Like, be doing skill stuff at midnight. And we'd be practicing at 10 a.m. the next day. Like, but he didn't need the cameras on him and stuff. That's just what he was like. And we certainly didn't win a cup that year. But guys are wired differently. I don't know how Sid would... he doesn't seem like a boozer. He doesn't seem like a guy to be on a run.
No, Jamie. Like, do you really got to take a picture of everything you do? It's like somebody tweeted out today. For once, I'd like to see somebody buy a homeless person a sandwich and not take a selfie.
Why, is that like a new thing? I've never seen
that. But anybody that does anything for good, are they Why do you got to take a picture of it? Just do it.
Yeah, I agree with it. All you're doing is
you're not doing it for the right reason. You're just promoting yourself. It's a joke.
No, I just don't like. There's a lot of. I've seen what people eat now. That's what. All they do is take a picture of like, hey, there's my sandwich.
But that's not there's offensive. Like that doesn't hurt.
Not
anybody.
Offensive. It's just
can
annoying.
I get into my internet loser story?
Yeah. Do we have time or no?
Yeah, go ahead.
I found a picture on Instagram, and it was Ovechkin going to the Golden State Warriors saying, my next chapter, and there was like a Players Tribune. And I just screenshotted it, and I cropped it, and I put it on Twitter, and I said, who did this? And then apparently the guy that actually did it has like a little, like, at, like his social media name. Like it was, you could barely see it, though. I couldn't even find it. And people were writing. I had to take it down because I couldn't deal with the abuse. People were like, that's internet
plagiarism.
Yeah, you're stealing his thunder. I had to write people direct messages and say, look, you loser. I'm on television every day. Do you think I need credit for this guy's Photoshop picture? I don't care. Stop writing me and abusing me.
That's become a big thing because it's Instagram that ruined it for everyone because people have become Instagram celebrities by stealing memes.
My point is, I don't need to do that.
Well, I understand that. I'm not suggesting that that's why you're doing it.
And for any of you losers, and you know who you are, that claim that, you're losers.
Well, I don't know why anyone would care to step up for the person who actually created
that. The dude
that
actually had the account, he wrote underneath the tweet, he's saying, my handle's right on the picture. And I wrote him a direct message. I go, what do you want, a trophy? I don't care what your handle is or where it is. I couldn't see it, and I could care less. These people are honestly psycho, and they wonder, I don't know, they're psycho.
Well, it
is. So if you want to take someone else's material, I guess, or I don't even know, it's not taking it. It's Twitter. It's retweeting or whatever.
I like to just, once in a while, I'm not that active on Twitter anymore, but I like to retweet some funny things. I really enjoy. I think people on Twitter, but it's like anything. What ratio would you give it? Are 90% of Twitter, 80% of Twitter good? You know, good people that want to engage with other, and 20% are idiots.
I follow a bunch of funny people. Like, kind of, they're not like comedians, but they're just really funny people on Twitter.
Yeah,
and they will go after each other, saying, "Screenshot," and I told this joke. I wrote this tweet in 2009, so I don't know what you think.
Well, that's what's happening. Like, there are different, like the fat Jewish and all that. Like, there's all these Instagram. Like, he is the guy who's really under attack.
He steals everybody's things.
But he's now making a fortune because he's got millions and millions of followers, and the people that are following him are like, I don't care where he found it. It's funny, and now he's the one that's brought it to light, or he's the one that's brought it to my attention.
Oh, he gets it all the time. People are, you watch the mentions, it's like, ah, that's my picture.
Exactly. And he's under attack because he's got representation, there are agencies, he's doing
commercials.
Shows. He's making a fortune.
Really?
All because he stole other people's material. So I can understand it. Like that in the comedy world, that's like the biggest, you can't steal another guy's joke.
Joe Rogan, like, is, he's a tough guy too.
He's gone after
Apparently
people.
He's gone after like other comedians for like stealing jokes.
Right. Which is understandable.
I know, but it's just, I believe for the most part, I like following Twitter religiously. I follow it and I'm always on it, but I watch and I get information from it. You interact with people that are nice. And that's it. You move on.
Well, here's what you got to remember. 95% of the world isn't even on Twitter. Yeah. Might be 98% of the world. So of the 2% that is, 80% of the 2% are good people. All good.
And
whatever,
there's 20% that are lunatics, and you move on. That's the way I like you. You're never going to please everyone. That's it.
I think this guy, James in Toronto, I think he got Ray's story mixed up about Sid being in the gym after Game 5.
No, I saw it on Twitter. Ray talked about it.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, though, that Sid was in the gym yesterday. Because I didn't see that anywhere.
I didn't see that anywhere.
I didn't see anyone tweeting about that.
I saw Ray tweet that after Game 5... Sid was the only guy in the gym, and he's a dedicated. It wouldn't surprise me if a guy went for a little.
But he's still playing at that point. I'm saying, you know, this guy's comparing Sid to Draymond Green the day after winning the title, being in the gym, I haven't seen anything.
I didn't see any of the report.
All right, joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst.
From the golf course.
From the golf course. Have you heard anything about Sid being in the gym yesterday?
Oh, stop it. Like, are people stupid? Did they not see the video of Mario jumping in the pool?
Yeah. And all the guys hanging out? That pool probably ended
12 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, stop it. He was in there while the series was on. Like, oh, people are bloody ridiculous. Seriously.
Well, the reason we bring it up is because Draymond Green, someone, I guess, posted a video of him in the gym. So now it's like he total hero move. Look at me. Look how dedicated I am. And even after we won,
yeah.
You know.
Okay, what's he doing? I didn't see the video. What's he doing in the gym?
He's like stretching. He's not even really doing anything.
Well,
but
because he's hung.
Yeah, he pulled a hamstring on the dance floor last night.
He's got to get that treated or it's going to screw up his summer.
That's a good point. I mean, I'm with you. Like, it should almost be in the CBA. If you win a title, you're not allowed to go close to a gym for like a month.
I can't even imagine any of those guys would even look at a pair of running shoes. Like, I've got to put those on to work out. Forget it. Not, no.
That's I didn't even win a championship. I only went to one final in the next training camp. Country club. Well, you guys go golfing. We're down in Fort Myers. Little two-on-ones for half an hour. Hit the course. It was a country club. And we missed the playoffs, obviously, but...
I want.
So you guys had the cup hangover.
That was
a
my
cup.
Dynasty. We lost in the finals and then missed.
Wow. I want the
Don't
video.
You think the only thing those guys are worried about now is, like, you know, they get the parade and wherever the next bash is, and then when do they get the cup?
Yeah,
that's the only thing they're worried about right now. When are the, you know, when do I get it in the summer?
I saw on Twitter Kessel was in the gym today.
Passing through the buffet I've been put in there.
I was going to say, were they serving breakfast on the other side again, or what?
We should place odds on when Phil steps back into a gym.
Do you think Pittsburgh would ever try to move him, Ray? Or, like, do you think there would be a market, or...
What about not protecting him? What about not protecting him in San Vegas? If you want to take him, go ahead.
I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think. He's got, what's he got, 5 years at $8 million left, or $8 million left, something like that?
Yeah, and the Leafs are eating, what, 1.2?
Yeah, I think it's 6.8 is what Pitt is on the...
Is what Pitt's playing? Like, what if...
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to be a significantly different team next year. The one thing I keep thinking about, Phil, like, his athleticism is astounding, but there's going to come a time when that's not enough, and it's going to, the cliff is going to be steep, unless he gets... You know, unless he finds religion and finds the key to the gym. Like, that's... otherwise, it's going to be... Guys, we've all played with guys like that, right? Like, maybe not as talented as Phil, but you're like, wow, what happened to him from one end of one season to the start of the next? It's like his legs don't work anymore.
Well, that's what you're hoping. You're like, can he go in the summer and, like, you know...
Didn't that happen
to Pray to the Lord, Gary Roberts, and, like, realize that he's got to... be the best conditioned guy in the team, and he can be awesome for another 4 or 5 years, or it's just the wheels got to come off it sooner or later.
They are, but he's already been to Roberts. And look at, I mean, there's no comparison this year to last. I don't know what he did this year, but last year, man, we were talking about him as a Conn Smythe winner last year, and this year he was really no factor in the final. One game he had, you know, game five he was good, but that was it. And, It's not going to get easier for him. As talented and, you know, special hands and shot that he's got, it's not going to be like that. It's all of a sudden it's going to be like he's climbing uphill all over the place.
Well, this Vegas expansion is really, it's a curveball in the whole offseason, and no one knows what to expect and where it's going to take us. But it wouldn't shock me. Using Phil as an example, it doesn't mean it's going to happen. This could apply to a number of players on a number of teams. If some big-name players weren't protected, that would shock you in the moment. But the reasoning is, hey, this could be our opportunity to get out
away from it.
Not for this year or the next year, but the final, like, 3 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's where you look at it and you'd be like, wait a minute, they're not going to protect that guy? And chances are Vegas may look at it and say, we're not going to take him anyway for whatever reason. And maybe that's a part of the gamble as well. But this might be a...
But don't you think, Hayes, don't you think, like, the reason is just what you said, not for the next 2 years. Vegas doesn't want to be stuck with a player for years 3, 4, and 5 either. I can't imagine they're going to take a big money contract that's got 4 years on it. Like, I don't see what the purpose would be.
Right. Well, do you think maybe that's what Ottawa was thinking with Phaneuf? Like, hey, they're not going to take you anyway.
Oh, for sure.
Just right. Wave, I mean, so you make our lives easier. And yet now it sounds like reports are indicating he's not going to wave. He's going to hold on to a spot in Ottawa.
Now, just think of how that's going to play out, too, because people will probably be angry at him, but it's his contract, it's his right. And yeah. Now you've got a guy that says, I want to stay in the city, and people are going to be mad at him, perhaps, because it costs them Mathot or CeCe. And Mathot's Carlson's best buddy, so that's not easy if they decide to expose Mathot. And CeCe's, what, 23 or 24 years old? Like, you don't want to do that either.
No,
it's a bad spot.
It is. I would be, if I was a McPhee, I would certainly covet a guy like Claesson or Weidman because of their age, their price point, and their upside as far as where he would fit in. I think CeCe would be protected. It's just if Phaneuf has to be protected, you make that decision. For me, Mathot is the guy that you leave. And I know he's Carlson's partner, but you know, again, if you're McPhee, do you grab Mathot because maybe he's a bargaining chip at the deadline to a team that's looking for a real solid player?
Well, I think I would take Mathot ahead of Claesson or Weidman for sure.
Yeah.
You know, because I think he gives you a level of stability that the other guys can't. If I'm with you, Noodles, like if they've got to choose, you've got to take the younger guy for sure.
Right.
I mean, it's a bad spot that they're in, but I mean, that's totally Dion's right to do that. Like 100%. He's like, no, I don't want to wave. Like, I don't want to go. He was already on an expansion team, the Leafs. Yeah. And he found out how much that sucked. And he's like, I'd like this better. Like, why would he want to move?
Well, but that's also the thing that Sens fans are going to complain about, which that's just what fans do. And you're making all the right points, and we've talked about it. He's totally within his right. He signed the deal. He's allowed to execute this, but he signed the deal in Toronto. He didn't sign the deal in Ottawa.
Right.
And Ottawa shouldn't have acquired him.
Well, exactly. But I'm talking about the fans' reaction.
The draft was a surprise. No. You know, people knew that the draft or that the team was coming. There's going to be a draft. They've got these new movement clauses. It says no move. They can't very well, no matter how hard they tried, they can't very well say, yeah, it's no move, but yeah, you got to move.
Oh, they knew what they were getting.
And he's choosing to stay. It's not like he's choosing to poop on your team. He's choosing to stay.
Yeah. Well, and it's such different context, right? Because it means someone else has to go. Like we had the situation in Toronto for years where people were hoping that Sundin would waive, but that wasn't because they were going to lose whoever. It was because the team wanted to go in a different direction, and the fans were hoping they'd blow it up and reload and get the assets that would come with the Sundin trade. There's no assets coming back. It's not like Dion's waving and they're going to get a first pick and a top prospect. They're just, well, he's going to stay and they're going to lose someone else.
And they may have to make a side deal. Like if
hate the league, I guess is what I'm saying. Don't hate Ottawa or Dion. Hate Vegas and the owners who took the money.
But George McPhee may say to them, okay, you don't want me to take Mathot. I'll take Weidman, but I also want Dzingel so that I steer away from whoever, you know, steer away from Mathot if you want to keep that four intact, your top four,
sure,
and keep placing.
Absolutely.
And that's what George McPhee's going to do. He's going to be creative.
George is sitting there like a mad scientist right now.
Exactly.
He has got, you got a problem. Yeah, I'll help you solve it. And this is how I'll solve it. You might not like this one either, but, you know, like that's why all these mock lists that people are putting out, I'm like, man, what a colossal waste of time those have been. Like, for the people to do it. I know they had to because their bosses said put out a mock draft, but the players that are going to be going are, in a lot of cases, not going to be the ones we think.
Bruce Arthur was on the morning show today, and he was down there at the Cup Final. And after the game, he was speaking with Malkin. And this is what Bruce had to say to Naylor and Landsberg in the morning.
On the ice after the Stanley Cup win, I asked Evgeny Malkin, like, do you have an appreciation of how hard it is to do this after the years where you didn't do it before these last two? He went, yeah, this league is so hard. Teams are coming up. And he mentioned two teams, Edmonton, Toronto. Like, those are the two first teams that came to his mind in terms of the teams that are coming, because they have the two best young players of their generation, respectively.
What do you make of that story?
Oh, I'm not as excited as you are, but oh my gosh, you must have been dancing.
I was a fan of that story. Yeah, I was a fan of the story.
He pitched. Well,
what's not like? What's not to like of either of them? You know, to look at them, to the teams, and go, yeah, I mean, how could you say you don't agree? They've got incredible young players. The Toronto one, like, I would even be slightly more excited about the overall picture of the Leafs than the Oilers, because the Leafs do not have one contract that I can think of that you look at and you go, that thing might be an anchor. They don't have one of them.
Well, Ray, that's what we were saying earlier, is we keep focusing on all these teams who are up against it, and who do they protect, and who are they going to lose, and what are they going to do, and how sensitive is this topic going to be in the room when next year the guy comes in and realizes that right. The team didn't want him or was willing to expose him. The Leafs aren't worried about anything. Like, they're going to lose Martin Marincin or like Marchenko or something like that. They don't have to worry about anything.
Take them both.
Exactly. They could.
Should be the side deal with McPhee. You can take them both.
Go ahead. Have both of them if you want.
Like, they're in a great spot. They're now, this isn't true because there's nothing inevitable, but there seems to be an inevitability of success coming down the road for the Leafs. Just like you could look at it with Pittsburgh and say, there's an inevitability of success. Now, does that lead to a cup? I don't know, or not. But, I mean, they won in 09, and then it took them 7 years. Like, it's bloody hard. But the pieces are, they just seem to be lined up so nicely. Now, we'll see what happens when they got to start paying guys. And we'll see what happens next year when a couple of those second-year guys take a step back, which always seems to happen. But the story looks like it's being written in a really positive way. It really looks amazing for them. And now we'll see what the next few years bring.
Right, exactly. And the angst in Toronto is always there, where when you think something nice is coming along, something horrible will happen. So until it actually happens, I don't think people will really breathe. But it is interesting. It's an interesting story from Bruce that those were the two teams that he mentioned, and specifically because of the best players. I mean, McDavid,
right.
Everyone knows what he is and what he's already accomplished. And Edmonton, I think, has a great chance at doing great things next year and for years to come as well. But Matthews made one hell of a statement this year. Like, 40 goals and just the impact he had and what he did in the playoffs over six games. And it makes you realize how lucky the Leafs were to win that lottery and how significant that move was, because you can imagine what Eichel and the Sabres are thinking. Like, well, hey, Gino, can you mention me or Line
well,
A and the
thinking,
Peg?
Though, I think there's five teams that could be in that conversation. Carolina, obviously the Leafs and Edmonton frontlining it, but Carolina, Buffalo, and Winnipeg.
Who does Carolina have, though, that scares you in terms of the same conversation of Eichel, Line A, Matthews,
well,
McDavid?
They're
who's
built
their
the
guy?
Other way. They're from the defensive core. Like, their defensive core is really good. Now, they've got pieces like Aho and guys like that. Like, you're right, from the big three.
They're closer to the Nashville way, aren't they?
Yes, they are built more like Nashville than they are like Toronto. But I look, there's a lot of young talent there. And like I say, that's why I put my front runners would be Edmonton and Toronto. But not for that second layer, for me, is Winnipeg, Buffalo, and Carolina. And that's a five-pack that I look towards the future when teams start to cycle out. I think those five teams are going to be, one of them's going to win a cup soon.
Don't they?
Yeah, I think they can be with a piece here or there. If Winnipeg goes and gets a veteran goalie to help out Hellebuck, all of a sudden they look pretty good on paper.
Yeah, and if Carolina had Eric Staal, that was 22-year-old Eric Staal.
No, you're right. Like, there are what ifs, but that's why I put Toronto and Edmonton above those two. But I think there's a five-pack coming in the future that looks pretty good for the league. You know, and then when L.A. and Chicago and Pitt and all these teams cycle out and have to retool again. Maybe I'm missing somebody. I don't think so. Those five teams seem to...
Well, but let's be honest. I mean, this time last year, people were probably including Florida in that with Barkov and Huberdeau with Ekblad.
Yep.
I mean, and that's the truth, is that a lot of things can happen, a lot of things can change, but if healthy, you have to believe McDavid will continue to be a beast, Matthews will be coming, will continue to be a beast.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm sure Malkin's looking at it saying, generally speaking, the best players of their generations end up winning cups, and that's the truth with Sid.
Yeah.
But Ovechkin's probably the number two guy of the past decade, and he hasn't won anything yet. He's been on great teams, but could never break through.
Right.
So.
Well, it's we just saw how hard it is to win, and how a really good year falls just short, and it must feel terrible for it to fall short like that, because you just never know. You can't say, oh, hey, Nashville's going to have all those D back. They're going to be the same next year. No, they're not. They might be better, but they might not be. And the league is it's so difficult, and I guess that's why it's so hard to win.
Great stuff, buddy. We'll do it again.
Hey, before I forget, can I tell one quick story about the cup when the guys get the cup? Because I don't know if we're going to have time during the summer, because I'm not going to be here. One of my favorite stories is a guy that I know, him and his buddies had the cup. They took the bottom off it. somehow they got the bottom of the cup off, and they were putting it over their heads and walking around and pretending they were the Stanley Cup. And every time somebody wins, I always think of that story, and I'm like, that might be the single goofiest, craziest, funniest thing that I've heard. Just think, they're like, hey, we could get this thing off.
That's
they
awesome.
They had to wedge it off somehow.
Just a couple of engineers all of a sudden. Yeah. You win a cup and you turn into...
They're not in the gym the next day, I'll tell you that.
No, they didn't quite make it in, that's for sure.
They need a camera in that cup. They need a camera in that cup just to see where it goes, what happens to it.
Yeah.
It would be brilliant TV.
The GoPro.
Strap awesome. A GoPro
Strap
on
a
that
GoPro
thing.
GoPro right to the cup.
Record ratings.
It would be.
Record ratings. All right, buddy. We'll do it tomorrow.
We'll leave you with that. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Red Tag Days are on now with 0% financing and lease rates on the Corolla and RAV4. Visit MapleToyota.ca. Richard Griffin will join us ahead of the series opener tonight with Tampa in town. The Jays back in town. A game under 500. Chance to hit 500 tonight. And is Donaldson better than ever as a Blue Jay? I mean, this is a guy who won the MVP a couple years ago, was great last year, had injury problems, but is he better than ever the way he's playing right now? We'll get Griff to chime in on that next. Fergie just talking about the U.S. Open coming up this weekend.
Yeah.
An annual tradition, players complaining about the conditions of the course.
Who was
they started
was?
Chopping up the fescue today.
I hate that.
So do I. You have a course layout, and then what? Kevin Na goes into the rough and throws his ball in there and can't hit it out, and you change it?
Was it bad, though?
It was horrendous. But you know what? They're also the widest fairways in U.S. Open history. So,
well, how about hit a fairway, then?
That's right.
Be a better player.
I don't know.
It's one weekend a year.
I just find it so gutless that they went out there and started chopping broccoli.
I hate that. Kevin Na. Like, who is Kevin Na? Yeah,
Google him. YouTube him chopping Brock in the woods in San Antonio. He hit it 11 times. He made a 17 or something.
2 years from now, he won't be on the tour then.
He'll be on
tour. He's still kicking around, I guess. He's won enough money. And
he's real.
But still, I mean, I'm with you, man. Like, it's a gutless move. And this is the thing. Like... Players know they can chirp the USGA. They wouldn't dare speak about Augusta the way they speak about the U.S. Open every year. They'd be terrified because the Masters, like, they'd walk up to them and say, all right, get the hell out. You're done. Yeah,
the Masters, like, run the show.
Yeah, all they do is they're like, oh, it's in perfect condition. I'm sure some players don't like certain things about maybe the greens are too crazy, but they'll never say a disparaging comment about Augusta. But the U.S. Open every year is supposed to be the toughest challenge in golf. It's one weekend a year. You spend your other weekends playing donkey courses where you're shooting 25 under.
Yeah.
And as a viewer, watching the greats look human, it's a nice change of pace.
Yeah.
Watching a guy try to chop it out of
grind
the woods.
Grind his way through.
Like, what other sport would allow for that? Where it's such a fluctuation in terms of the conditions. I mean, In hockey, it's the same ice every single game.
Well,
basketball, the same court.
Well, it depends. I mean, some buildings, you go through buildings in the NHL and the ice is crappy. You can tell.
But that's not on purpose, though. That they're not doing that intentionally to make it more difficult for Crosby to stick handle.
Yeah, deeper corners or...
It's the only sport that I can really think of where you actually can go into a weekend and say, man, these guys are going to look human. Like, they won't look great. Yeah. They'll look like me chopping it around. Every year they complain.
Well,
anyway,
tell them to suck it up.
Obviously, this is why they complain, though.
Who's favorite to win?
Oh, I think right now Dustin Johnson, every time he tees it up, he's pretty much favored. And then it goes to the usual suspects, Spieth. I don't know if Phil's going to play. He's debating. While his caddy's there, I think he's waiting to see his tee time. If he can get to the graduation, I think he's in limbo right now. But Bones, his caddy, was on the course today. I don't know where he's at.
How do you know? Like, how do you get this information that Bones was on the... And why is the caddy on the course?
I have a bit of a problem watching the Golf Channel during the day once SportsCenter is over.
You watch it and you get, like...
Well, every big tournament, they have these things called live from the U.S. Open, and they went through the whole...
There's Bones walking the course in case Phil...
Oh, yeah.
They do a great job of that. Like, yeah, they really do. They give you a lot of good information, and...
I want to... Behind the scenes of Overdrive, us prepping, and there's...
Live from the Overdrive studios.
Our green room. That would be awesome.
That would be quite the material.
HR would show up and we'd be taken off air immediately. Like, immediately.
Well, it wouldn't be our problem, though. Like, it wouldn't be in their best interest to allow for that kind of access. Like, give us our freedom. When we're on the air from 4 to 7, we'll keep it in check. You know, we know the boundaries, but once the mics are off, then it's our world. Come on now.
You know our boundaries. He said that you would pitch a tent earlier. You didn't. You just flushed that like you didn't even hear it.
Well, he said it the first time with his mic off.
That's right.
And then he circled back when he turned his mic on because he thought it was such a good line.
It was.
It was a great line, but you're right. He yelled it and his mic was off.
That's why, I don't even think I reacted the first time, but I was kind of like, interesting line, but your mic was off, so I thought you just let it go.
He didn't let it
go. But then you're like, I got to make sure that one gets out there to the people.
Yes.
Thanks for bringing that to everyone's attention. You just wait.
You've been doing that a lot recently, the mic off conversation.
The mic's off and he's what? Yelling.
You've been doing that a lot. Your mic has been off, and you're like
yelling
into it, but it's not on. Have you noticed that?
No, I actually haven't. Thanks for bringing that to my attention, though. I think we have a guest on the line.
Well, no, I'm helping you out.
Yes.
I'm telling you, make sure that it's all good. Because remember yesterday, Jack came in and didn't think we were actually on the air.
He didn't think we were on air.
When we were on the air. Do we have that clip, the Jack Armstrong clip? This is, I don't even remember what we were talking about before he came in, but this is the first thing he said after we introduced him in studio.
You guys are on the air right now?
Like, shocked that we were on the air. That means our conversation was
so
bad.
That's the biggest indictment of our radio show.
Of how things were
going.
Anyone.
He's like, this is horrible radio.
He's like, I've just walked in. He's like, I left my dinner on the table for this nonsense.
You can't possibly be on radio right now.
Yeah.
Like, you're not actually on the radio, are you?
We are.
Yeah, we are. All right, Jay's back in action, back home tonight. Here's Richard Griffin, our baseball insider, brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln, your premier source for auto service in sales in the GTA. We are on the air, Rich. Good to have you.
Oh, I was going to ask. Let me know when you're going on, all right? Give me 10 seconds.
How about that from our buddy Jack? He rolls in. He's like, you guys, you're on the air? Like, this is awful.
That sounds like Jack at around 1:30 at last call in a joint somewhere.
Yes. He would be that kind of guy. He's a legend in many, many different ways. We were talking about the significance of 500, and the Jays are a game under 500, and Owen Noodles were saying that when they were playing, 500 meant you weren't that good of a team, really. But in baseball, with about 100 games left, do you get the impression like it holds some sentimental value, the idea of the Jays getting back to 500 tonight?
Well, it's crazy because there's eight teams. There's fully eight teams within two games in the standings of that second wild card spot. So, you know, being mediocre so far is being competitive in the AL wild card race. And, Gibbons before the game today just said, it's important to get back to 500. No, he said it's important to play 500. And I said, well, he's not necessarily there yet. He says, but you have to be there if you want to consider yourself competitive. And that's what you guys are saying. And that's what he believes. I mean, this team has had five opportunities to get back, and they've lost all five of those games, tonight being the sixth chance. And, you know, they have to do it if they are going to move up. They could pull a muscle patting themselves on the back from coming back after that horrible April. But at some point, you got to, you know, after the month of May, you got to put it together in June, too, because they dug themselves that hole and they put themselves there. And now they have to take advantage of Chris Archer not being in the rotation for the two games, of Kevin Kiermaier, who is always a struggle for them to control, being out of action, and they have to do something about it.
Well, you're right about this Tampa team. They've been a sneaky competitive team against the Jays for a long time.
Nemesis.
Big time. And especially down at the Trop. I don't know if it's as significant here at the Rogers Center, but at the Trop, they've had issues for a decade down there. But no one's talking about this Tampa team, Rich. I mean, they're over 500. The Jays are chasing them. Forget chasing the Yankees and the Sox. They got to get past Tampa before they can think of these other two teams.
Oh, definitely. And you know, Gibbons also pointed out that no matter the names may change, but this rotation is always one that the organization, the Tampa organization, prides itself on. They bring pitchers up. They treat it like a university program where you go freshman, sophomore, junior. You might get treated as a junior, but definitely as a senior. And then they bring in a new class. And, you know, they've got a kid in tonight who's had a really good start as a major leaguer. He's replacing Andrés in the rotation, but it's that rotation that gives the Jays the biggest problem, led by Chris Archer and you know, anybody else that they throw out there. But yeah, you got to get past these guys. They weren't expected to be challenging 500, and this is still the toughest division in baseball. 23 games above 500 combined for the five teams, and Washington in the NL East is leading that division, and that division is 24 games below 500. So you compare numbers and say, is Washington that good, and are the Jays that bad so far, or are they just in a very, very tough division?
With Richard Griffin from the Toronto Star, Jays back home, back in action tonight against Tampa. Donaldson, who came off the DL a couple of weeks ago, that first couple of games, kind of easing into it, was a bit slower out of the gate than maybe some were expecting, just based on the expectations. But he has been lights out, and on Sunday he almost single-handedly won them that game. I mean, Hap pitched a great game, the bullpen held up, but he went 3-for-5 and had a home run and 3 RBI, and all of a sudden you look at his OPS, he's got an OPS of 1100. Based on the injuries, it's probably taken him out of the MVP race, probably even out of the MVP conversation. But you've seen him play pretty much every game since he came to Toronto. Has he ever been more locked in? Has he ever been better than he has been over the past couple of weeks?
Well, this stretch reminds me of when he first came over the first half of the 2015 season before Alex Anthopoulos went out and made the trade deadline deals that put them over the top. Donaldson carried this team through the first two or three months of that 2015 season, and if it hadn't been for his presence, they would not have gone out and made those deals, because he was hitting the go-ahead home runs, he was hitting the tying home runs, just like he is now as a healthy third baseman for the Jays, and as you said, not an MVP candidate for the league, but certainly for this team. And I see what he's doing now as a reflection of what he did first half of the 2015 season.
So is there a higher ceiling? I mean, this isn't a young guy. Do you think, I mean, not that anyone's complaining. Again, 1,100 OPS, you'll sign off on this for the rest of his career, and it would be lock first ballot Hall of Fame. But is there anything more you think he could potentially bring to the table, or would they even be contemplating something? I mean, how greedy would that be?
Yeah, I think that you can't anticipate that. You've got to look at some of the other contributors that haven't stepped up to the plate yet. In the way that Donaldson has. And that's Donaldson's value as an MVP, is that he's not just piling on when four or five other guys are hitting. He's carrying the team when three or four other guys aren't hitting. And, you know, I think he's learning to live with the injury. It's him every once in a while jog down to first base on a routine ground ball instead of hauling down the line. And you gotta forgive him for that, because he's got to stay on the field if this team is going to be competitive, and he's learning how to do that and what it takes. But in terms of his ceiling, I think if he can maintain what he's doing now and what he did, what he's done to the Jays in his time here, that would be good enough.
Great stuff, Griff. We'll do it again soon. Thanks, buddy.
Okay, anytime.
Richard Griffin from the Star, the Baseball Insider, was brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln. Quick Lane, conveniently located at 570 Trafalgar Road in Oakville.
It's going through Twitter. This Aaron Judge character in New York is really causing some...
A stir?
Oh, like it's going to be getting close to him getting the Barry Bonds treatment, where it's just like, first.
Someone sent a tweet out over the weekend comparing the date and his home run numbers to Babe Ruth in 1927 when he hit 60.
Yeah.
And Roger Maris in whatever year that was, 61, I think, when he hit 61. And Judge is like a home run ahead of those two guys on the same date.
The one thing that I don't agree with some of the scribes, and they're obviously the professionals, but I do not agree with the comparison of Derek Jeter. It's like, you're not Derek Jeter. You're not shortstop. You're a totally different animal. So why do they have to keep saying, this guy's going to be the next Jeter? He's not.
It must be just what he represents, because you're right. Yeah. Jeter didn't hit for power either. No, he wasn't a home run hitter.
They're not even concerned, they concerned about him being on the sauce? Like, how many times would this guy be tested?
I guess in baseball, you can never put anything past anybody, and you can never blame anyone for being skeptical. But
dude, A-Rod was my hero when I was younger. I'm like, this guy is going to break the record and be the only clean guy ever.
No dice.
No dice. Case,
yeah.
But Judge is like 6'7", 250. He's a monster.
I know, but Mark McGwire was 6'6", 260. Like, I got to know the man personally. His forearms were the size of my legs.
Yeah.
Like my quads.
Guess how that happened.
Well, yeah. Exactly.
Well, let's hope that's not the case with Aaron Judge.
I know.
For baseball's sake, I mean.
But isn't that what today's world's all about? You've always got a little shadow of doubt now.
Well, especially in baseball.
In baseball.
Yeah. And it's their own fault. Their own players did it to the history
Ryan
of the game.
Ryan Braun was caught, and he's a scrawny, tall dude.
His whole spiel throughout it was just pathetic. Yeah. Embarrassing.
He was embarrassing.
He's never made it back into the limelight. Like, people are like, stay in Milwaukee. Name, I don't care about you anymore. He's still a great player.
We watched him play in Chicago 2 years ago, I think. Cracked a dinger that night.
He's a great talent. He won MVP, but no one cares about him because of what he did. Bobby Mack coming up in about 20 minutes. Bob McKenzie's on fire on Twitter with all the different news and notes coming out of the league. And
he is
something else.
Ron Textall right now.
He's in the zone. And P.J. Carlissimo may join us as well, looking back on the NBA Finals and ahead to what should be a busy offseason in the NBA as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. We've got another 2-for-1 gift card giveaway to get to. Father's Day giveaway, courtesy of our friends at 2-for-1 Pizza. So we'll tell you how and when you can win that in the next hour.
Craving a little za right now.
I could do a pizza right now. I don't know if we have enough time to get it here.
Weegee, non-gee on the pie?
I could do
weegee.
Weegee.
A potential weegee.
We don't have time for
a pie. No, we don't have time, but maybe later in the week. Weegee. When we go to Chicago, deep dish?
I don't know. I've never tried that.
You've never had deep dish?
I hear people talking. I like a thin crust, though.
I like a thin.
I'm a fan. I'm a fan of both.
I don't mind.
I'll buy.
The thing is, late night, though.
You go, yeah, I know, but I don't know if they're open late night.
There is. You go to.
Is it thick like a lasagna, though? Because I don't think I'd like that.
Where I'm taking you,
just
it's open late night.
Okay?
It's open late night because we're going in the square there. Or the triangle.
We'll take
What's
care
it called? Deep dish?
Deep dish pizza is like the generic.
Chicago deep dish.
Chicago deep dish. I'm a fan, man. Yeah. I'm a fan of every type of pizza, though. So, like, who discriminates against any type of pizza?
Is bruschetta or whatever a pizza?
No, bruschetta's not pizza. Although I love bruschetta, too. So, sure, lump it in. Go ahead.
All right, fair.
Fill your boots. All right, Bobby Mack coming up and potentially PJ Carlissimo. You never know. Might bail on us. And we'll get to the two-for-one pizza giveaway. Final hour up next. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.